can't win, Darth.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Byers Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byers Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byers Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByersBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R Barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
Smell of wine and cheap perfume.
You tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
And it is all stormy, and here we are.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on this fine 6th of February. We got a little storm last night. Got about, 3 inches of snow, I guess. And never got above 20-something a day. And the wind blew all day. This was a miserable day, I can tell you the truth. But we're getting some much-needed snow. As much as I hate it, it's a good thing. So, let me go over here before I get too excited about everything. Make sure we got sound. See who all's in the chat room. Thank you, Tebow. Looks like we do have sound. And let's see. All right, good deal. And M. Glock, let me see who all's in here. Copper's with us again. Desert Rat. And Minnie and Mountain Shooter and NM Glock and Yakima Glock. I thought I saw Nan. And yeah, there's Nan. And T-Bow and Anonymous. All right, good deal. Well, I trust all of you watched the State of the Union address last night. I just want everybody to know that was my president that delivered that address. And what a fine job he did. And I can't believe how bad them stupid Democrats acted like fourth graders in there. Acted like a bunch of little teenage girls passing notes or something in the classroom. I could not believe that. I would think that they would get up this morning and be out of a job. Even the Democrats should have looked at that and said, my goodness, how childish are these people? And it was so transparent, so blatant, that Nancy Pelosi was not reading anything. She was holding up pieces of paper, and you could watch her facial expressions when Trump would say something, and she'd either smile a little bit, she'd smile just a little, or she'd roll her eyes, or she spent the whole time trying to keep her dentures in place. I don't know what in the hell she was doing there, but those pieces of paper, I can just about guarantee you, were blank. Or old stuff that was supposed to have been shredded 10 years ago or something. It was so comical, I couldn't believe it. After a speech like that, and delivering the news and the statistics and the State of the Union, as he did, I can't believe that a single person was not standing up, throwing their hat in the air, and saying, hallelujah, amen, brother. The unemployment, every issue that he touched on, couldn't believe. But you know how the Democrats are. And you see Pelosi stand up there. That was so unprofessional. She gets up there and she tells them when to stand up and when to clap and what to do, and they all just walk around there like they're, you know, good trained little sheep and doing exactly what they're told to do. I was amazed. But I was equally amazed at the content of the speech. It was amazing. He definitely knocked it out of the park on that. You watch some of the remarks by the Democrats afterwards. I don't know if they're trying to get their own party to love them again. Excuse me, I'm drinking some hot tea here. It's a new fad of mine, trying to drink some of this tea. I've never been much of a tea drinker, but I'm trying. I don't know if they were trying to, I don't know what the hell they were trying to do. It was amazing. It was just amazing. One of them said, I don't remember which one it was, said that the speech had no substance to it. Are you freaking kidding me? No substance to it? We have never, ever, ever heard a State of the Union address like the one last night. Not in my lifetime, and I'm getting older than I want to be. And I've heard a few of them. So anyway, we'll. I can't wait to see over this whole next year. I'm just sitting on pins and needles, see what all is going to happen over this next year. And I am so wanting to see what happens this next election. The Democrats are going to be more hostile than they've ever been. They've learned a lot. They learned that whatever they did to fix the last election didn't work, and they're going to try, 20 times harder this time. So, anyway. All right, well, let's move on. Let me see if there's any comments here on the chat room about the State of the Union address. Nan, she may have been trying to finish up the reading the Health Care Act there. That may have been exactly what she was doing. I don't know what the hell she was doing. But some of the facial expressions and the hand gestures and stuff that she made throughout the address was just mind-boggling to me, that she is supposed to be an adult, supposed to be a somewhat educated professional adult, and she acts like she did. I can see that out of that little moron, that little Mexican chick, whatever her name is, an oxymoron or something. I can see her acting like that. She's too stupid to pour pee out of a boot if the instructions was written on the bottom anyway. I don't know what. I'm amazed. Truly amazed at the way our country is going. But still a great speech last night. Great content. It had substance. It had teeth, I promise you. All right, let's see here. What did NM Glock put in here? Let me just take a look at this little thing here. Oh, did you see, and that may be what this meme is supposed to represent here. Did you watch Chuck Schumer every time they managed to bring the camera over to him? What a piece of work he is. Tebow says that was copies of the speech that he handed to her before he began his speech. Not sure why he would do that. Huh? Oh, okay. Well, evidently she was trying to follow along. I imagine some of the words were pretty big for her, but imagine after he pronounced them, she probably was able to keep up there a little bit. All right, let's see here. Let me go over here and get this crystal ball fired up here. We find a story occasionally. We've done a few of them. And every once in a while we do one and we just say, who made that up? What? It's just too weird. And I always look at the source, and I always try to find another source to make sure that they're real. And I have another one here that pretty much tops the chart of the ones that just leave you scratching your head. I think I said on Facebook that the best comedy writers in the world could not have dreamed this up. There is a 27-year-old man who plans to sue his parent. Now, this rate's right up there with the Virgin Mary being raped because she didn't have consent, you know, didn't give him consent to have Jesus. And that happened. We heard that just before Christmas. 27-year-old man plans to sue his parents. I can't even hardly say this. Listen real closely. Plans to sue his parents, 27 years old. Sue his parents for having him without his consent. They had me for their joy and their pleasure. He's from Indiana. And he plans to sue his parents, and he admits that he has a good relationship with them. But he's suing them because they brought him into this world without his consent. Well, how about we just take you right back out and pretend like this never happened? Will that make you happy? This is a true story. Raphael Samuel of New Delhi said that children aren't indebted to their parents, and their children should ask their mothers and fathers for an explanation as to why they gave birth to you. I want to tell all Indian kids that they don't owe their parents anything. What did I say? Oh, that's not Indiana. Indian. India. Indian. Dot. Not feather. Not Indiana. Indian. Wonder where the New Delhi came from there. He said, I love my parents. Excuse me. And we have a great relationship, but they had me for their joy and pleasure. My life has been amazing, but I don't see why I should put another life through the rigmarole of school and finding a career, especially when they didn't ask to exist. Samuel's belief is part of a system called antinatalism, which promotes the notion that children shouldn't be forced to be born, especially at the expense of the planet. Please tell me that there are not very many people in this antinatalism movement. If there are, then we should just take them right back out of it. Other Indian people must know that it's an option not to have children and to ask their parents for an explanation as to why they gave birth to you. What a retard. Samuel even went on to compare childbearing to both kidnapping and slavery. The outlet reported that Samuel runs a Facebook page called something here in Indian, so, which boasts a whopping 800 followers. You can find various memes and videos advocating for allowing the human race to die. Well, we're kind of taking care of that on our own, I think. I think that's kind of a happening thing already. One picture says a good parent puts the child above its wants and needs, but the child itself is a want of the parent. Another calls parents hypocrites and asks, isn't forcing a child into this world and then forcing it to have a career, kidnapping, and slavery? Another one said, the only reason your children are facing problems is because you had them. Infertile is sexy, says, don't respect your parents unless you want to. Now, maybe coming from India, that's not an entirely bad idea. With 1.3 billion people, it's the second most populated country in the world, not far behind China. But, wow. I got to go check the, let me go look at the chat room here and see what people say about that. And stand by a second. All right, I'm back. Sorry about that. That tea's a little too hot, and I pour it on that tender throat, and it makes me cough. So I'm trying not to do that anymore.
I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. Well, I thought the day I met you, you were meek as a lamb. Just the kind to fit my dreams and plans. Now the pace we're living takes the wind from my sails. And it looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. Film. There ain't no way to slow you down. I'm about as helpless as a leaf in a gale. And it looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail.
What do you think of the fact that it's gotten to a point where public meetings are being canceled?
Well, he canceled it. You know, we should have as much dialogue and openness as possible. Have you felt the change in the tone and tenor of the feds out there? We certainly have. We used to could walk up to them and talk with the FBI agents in a friendly manner, unarmed and stuff, but the tenor has changed. They have become more hardened. And when they step out of their vehicles, now they're stepping out with their rifles, and they're not willing to engage in just friendly dialogue. And so, and then I'm assuming that you're aware of all the extra vehicles that they're bringing in and the increase in manpower that they're ramping up, and we're saying, why the rattling of the saber? Why, when we're so far away from anybody out here in the middle of nowhere, why are you ramping it up? Why do you fly your planes over nonstop, and why do you have your drones? Because they're droning this now, and they're actually flying their photographer planes. They're doing all the things that shows that they want to take some kinetic action against us. And they're saying, why be so unfriendly? Why be so threatening? Why are you threatening lethal force when we are so far away?
You really feel like they're ramping it up, that they're going to take some sort of, you said kinetic, like physical action?
All the behaviors is in the preparation of a campaign of some sort. And whether it's just a saber rattling to intimidate, or whether they actually mean it, we don't know. All we know is what we see. And so what you're also seeing is that's why you're seeing the uptick in the saber rattling from the feds, because they do not want to let go of this. They do not intend on losing here. And we do not intend giving it back to them.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Alright, we're back. I was just looking at the comments there about that last story. That is a whole new, completely new, different level of ignorance, of stupidity there. Alright, let's go to Fort Collins, Colorado. Interesting story. A guy was out hiking and by himself and or running or whatever it was he was doing out there by himself. And he was attacked by a cougar. And this guy must be he's not the sheep type here, evidently. He engaged in mortal combat with this cougar. And one, he killed it. He choked it to death. The cougar tore him up a little bit, and he's got they found him. They found the cougar. Did an autopsy and verified that everything that the guy said was true. And he had some puncture marks. Let's see, what did it say here? Let's see, he's hospitalized, expected to make a full recovery. This is a different story. Let's see. Oh, there you go. Facial cuts, wrist injuries, puncture wounds to arm, legs, and back. The cougar had got his arm, his wrist, and his mouth. That's where the wrist injuries came from. And he managed to free that and got a hold of that cougar. Somehow or another managed to get on top of him. And choked the life out of him. And I'd say that is a pretty amazing story to say, tell the grandkids for sure. It says 16 people have been injured and 3 killed by mountain lions in Colorado since 1990. Interesting stuff. And I guess was he lucky? Maybe a little bit. To be able to get to a position of advantage, but the point is, he tried. He tried and he won. And this is the same in gunfights, fist fights, whatever. You know, I've said from way back in my AM days, you know, I've said if you are kidnapped or about to be kidnapped or whatever, fight. I said the people that fight and fight hard, more often than not, way more often than not, not only survive, but they are either released or, you know, they manage to get out of the, you know, especially if you're being taken to a secondary crime scene. You cannot allow that to happen. If you go to a secondary crime scene, chances are pretty good you're not going to leave there. So, there's story after story after story after story out there about people that have just give it their every last ounce of energy that they've got and survive. And that's what happened to this guy. Killed a mountain lion with his bare hands. Daniel Boone ain't got nothing on this dude. I'd say that was pretty good story. Let's go here. Hang on a second. Let's go here just a second. All right, let's go back over here again. There we go. Now I got it. You know, there was, for the last several years, there's been a lot of controversy, and there's been several banks that have suffered the wrath of the gun owners. And, of course, Bank of America is one of those. Bank of America is based in Atlanta. And they have closed the account of more than one firearms manufacturer, you know, reloader dealers, and have done numerous things, not allowing credit card transactions related to firearms. Well, I don't know what the reason is for this, but the ATF has just severed ties here with Bank of America and is going with U.S. Bank in Portland. There's a letter came out that says this is to advise the federal firearms and explosives industry, special occupational and individual National Firearms Act taxpayers, as well as Arms Export Control Act registrants of the change in contract lockbox services from Bank of America in Atlanta to U.S. Bank in Portland, Oregon. U.S. Treasury Bureau of Fiscal Services has set an effective date of February 1st, 2019 for all ATF lockbox transitions. That's pretty significant, if you ask me. And I like it. It's the only thing ATF's ever done that I like. I think it's kind of cool. Here's, one of the things that I'm going to do, and if you haven't noticed that I'm trying to do it on this show here, I'm going to demonstrate that again here in just a second. But I think what I'm going to do, instead of trying so hard to talk the full time, that every once in a while I'm going to throw in a song. You know, we used to do this on AM radio, and like every 12 minutes or something like that, we'd throw in a song. I don't remember what the time was, but I'm going to try that and see how it works. And that's going to give me a little time to organize things here just a little bit, take 2 or 3 minutes and get things in order. So that's what's going to be happening here. All right, let's move on over here to right here. There we go. I hate this story. And I don't know how to relate this story without telling you what happened. I wish I could. But I've talked to people from my church, friends. Amy and I have talked about it, about how far gone. I mean, just like the Democrats in the deal last night. To how low these people are getting. As I've always said, you know, there may have been a little bit of this go on forever, but we didn't have electronic communications, you know, social media and everything that the news gets out so quickly. But there is a man from Oregon here who was arrested last week for, they say allegedly, I don't know why they say allegedly, because he filmed it, repeatedly raping an infant girl that he knew It doesn't say how he knew her, whether she was related, or whether he was a babysitter, or whether the kid was at a friend's house, or whatever. But it said he recorded himself doing this multiple times, starting in June, and again as recently as January. This means for at least 6 months that this has been going on. $10 million bond. I say get a rope. I don't know how he managed to be alone with this kid that many times with that going on. I don't know how whoever changed her diapers and stuff was not aware of the damage. I don't know a lot of answers, just questions here, but I can tell you, as I've told you a time or two with other things similar to this over the years, if that had been my kid, there would be absolutely no possible way that he would survive this. And I don't believe that I would be judged any more harshly by God when it was over with. And that's all I got to say about. No, it's not all I got to say about that. I'm looking at the the sidebar things here that are you know somewhat related stories. Here's a man who impregnated 11-year-old given a 60-year sentence. 14-year-old boy arrested in shooting 15-year-old boy. Let's see, sexual assault victim not in a coma. Four boys charged with kidnapping, raping a girl. I mean, there's just a whole line of these things. Ex-scout leader in New Jersey gets 10 years in prison for sexually assaulting teen boys. Just a whole damn list of them here. 12-year-old girl stabs 11-year-old boy in the head with a pair of scissors. Deviant Mexican national arrested for molesting child. Over and over and over. That's,
in a Mississippi cotton-picking Delta town, on Dusty Street, you walk up and down, nothing much to see but a starving hound. In a Mississippi cotton-picking Delta town, down in the Delta where I was born, all we raised was cotton, potatoes and corn. Now I pick cotton till my fingers hurt, dragging the sack through that Delta dirt. Said I've worked hard the whole week long, picking my fingers to the blood and bone. There ain't a lot of money in a cotton bale, at least when you try to sell. In a Mississippi cotton picking Delta town, one dusty street to walk up and down, nothing much to see but a starving hound. In a Mississippi cotton picking Delta town, on Saturday night we'd get dressed up, catch us a ride on a pickup truck, on a gravel road it nearly strangled us, that cotton picking Delta does. We sit across the street on the depot porch, looking at the folks looking back at us, munching on a dust covered ice cream cone, wondering how we'd get back home. From a Mississippi cotton picking Delta town, on dusty street to walk up and down, nothing much to see but a starving hound. In a Mississippi cotton picking Delta town, from a Mississippi cotton picking Delta town, on dusty street to walk up and down, nothing much to do but just hang around. In a Mississippi cotton picking Delta town.
Some very old Charlie Pride there. I love Charlie Pride. That was one of my mom's favorites, too. She really did enjoy him. Got another story here. Let's see if I can find it again. There we go. There was a some folks come upon a bear eating a guy here. And, of course, they blamed the bear for killing this guy and eating him and all that. And he was, in fact, being eaten by the bear. But apparently they found out that the guy died of a meth overdose to start with. And the bear just found a meal of opportunity laying out in the woods. And I don't know what the if there's any residual meth effect that's going to affect that bear any, but the said he died of accidental methamphetamine intoxication, according to an autopsy. Let's see if they got if they killed the bear at the time of discovery. Searchers encountered a bear feeding on his body without knowing the definitive cause. The next day, officials made the decision to euthanize the bear. In the interest, and I can understand that, even though he didn't kill the bear. From what I understand, once wolves, lions, dogs, bears, anything else are able to taste humans, which is, as the old descriptive term, I'm not sure what the name of it is, but they call it long pig. Apparently, it's very much like pork, and that's why animals like it so much. Reminds me of a some time ago, actually early on in the shooting bench, years and years ago, I think it was still on AM radio, I know it was. And there was a story about a guy that worked on this microwave station or tower or something, and he kept calling the guy and he wouldn't answer and wouldn't answer, and he showed up, came to the work location, went into the building, and described what he described as smelling like a cooked pork. And as the story goes, I guess the guy had gone up and gone to sleep somewhere where it was warm, and apparently it was in the path of these microwaves, and it cooked him. Best I remember, that was a true story. We talked about it long, long time ago. So apparently it does smell and taste like pork. I think I'll pass on that, checking that out to verify that anytime in the near future. But I suppose you could leave that option open, but I don't know what for. All right. I was asked today to do a class at a disaster preparedness deal. They actually a church is putting it on, and they set up here and they have different booths of all these different people. And of course, they're not selling anything; they're teaching, they're educating. And some guy got hold of me out of the clear blue sky here and asked if I'd like to do a 40, 45-minute class. Stand by here just a second. Oh, my goodness. That's good. And he said, you can do this on whatever you want to. And I said, well, tell me what all is going on, who all is doing what, and maybe I can fill in what's missing. Instead of me telling you, well, I can do this, and, well, we already got somebody doing that, and, well, okay, well, I'll do this. Well, you got another guy doing that. You tell me what you want, and I'll take care of it. So he narrowed it down to a couple of things, and he was kind of, he really likes the idea of the 8-hour disaster preparedness class. I said, I thought you said 45 minutes. And he said, well, yeah, it's got to be, you got to fit it into a 45-minute window. So you want me to do an 8-hour disaster preparedness class in 45 minutes? I'm not an auctioneer. And if I could crowd that on there. I'm not sure how well it would be understood. But anyway, he wants to, excuse me, he wants to condense that and get it down to a 45-minute class. And so word's getting around. Now there's another one coming up here in Sholo that they want me to do the same thing. On that one, you can set up and sell stuff. So that'll be a good place to sell radios and colloidal silver things and all that. But one of the things that this guy was interested in was disaster communications. He even has his own little repeater, but he's not well versed at all in, he's got his ham license and he owns a repeater, but he's not, there's just some things that we do, you know, outside of the ham hobby that not everybody is up to snuff on, you know what I mean? And he's interested in that kind of thing. So I sent him, and I think I've provided it for most of you out there. I did a thing on secure communications. He's extremely interested in that. That he's not doesn't seem to be up to snuff on that at all. So I pointed him towards my blog, and if you are interested in secure communication, there's a good little deal that I wrote up. It's kind of long, but it's well worth doing. It's called Secure Communications 101. And I did that specifically for, I did it about, 2 years ago. And I kept getting so many people telling me, well, you know, get on Skype because it's the best way to do this, or get on Zello and it's the best way to do that. And obviously these people haven't done any research. They're just doing what other people have told them. So I did a lot of research and sat down and wrote this big, long damn thing about secure communications. And I did another one on disaster communications. And the two of those things together make an 8-hour class. So me and this guy is probably going to wind up having a pretty good relationship here. He likes some of the things that I've done, and I'm always excited to do it. So we'll see what happens here. I think what I'm going to do on, I want to fit in, not sure if I want to do it Mondays or Wednesdays or a little bit of both. I'm going to cut way back on the amount of news that we're doing. Some of this is essential. Some of it is, that you don't really hear too much unless you really spend a lot of time on Facebook and whatnot. So, I'm not going to do away with it because some of the stuff that we do is kind of unique. But I'm going to cut back. I was thinking about this over this last weekend, and I said, you know what? The shooting bench used to be a lot more fun. We spent a lot more time on, whether it was guns or camping or hunting or everything from, we've talked about a lot of different things, but there's always something new, and some of the stuff that's 10 or 12 years old, there's no reason we couldn't do it again. And we've been doing this that long now, so expect some changes starting here. I don't know if I'll get to it next week, but I'm going to try. And we're going to throw in a little bit of music and throw in a little bit of fun, and we're going to do away with some of the doom and gloom here a little bit on more than just on Fridays. So I hope that is agreeable with everybody. And I've also got an opportunity for one of my listeners. I'm not going to say who it is yet, but we may talk about it at a later date. There's a big gun conference coming up in Phoenix here towards the end of the year, in the fall. And I may have, I'm not sure yet, but I may have the opportunity to set up a table down there and do some interviews with some of the big names of in the Second Amendment world there. So we're not going to get too excited about that yet until we get a get something in carved in stone on that. But it'll be fun, and if we do, you guys will be the first to know. All right, let's see here. Let me check and see what's going on in the chat room. 3 degrees, Yakima Glock. Where are you? That's kind of stupid. A little bit chilly up in your neck of the woods there. So, all right. Well, I'm going to ease on towards the door here, and I'm going to write up a whole new schedule of how we're going to conduct the shooting bench here. And I hope it meets with your approval. We'll try it for a little while. I'll give it about a month or two trial and try to get some input and see how everybody likes it. But some of this news and doom and gloom has got to go. So let me know what you guys think about it. Send me an email. Send me a text. Tell me on the chat room or whatever. And I'll be looking for those comments. And I'm going to get out of here right now. We'll talk to you later. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.
Drop a